All right, this is part two of Trees of Righteousness, October 5th, 2022. The planting of the Lord. Let's go to Isaiah. Now, I wish I'd have known what I knew now when I was there that day. Okay, Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. All right, we were looking at last Wednesday at the pruning process and how that process can be painful at times. I think it's painful at all times. Did you cut your hair off? Oh, you just cut it off. Okay. But that's necessary for the growth of the tree. Trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. It's necessary to prune the trees. Yeah. Looking at this passage of Scripture, we can see the parallel of what we're going through and the result. Yeah, Hosea 11, another passage talking about similar situations. It says here, verse 1, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They sanctified unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by the arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of a man and with bonds of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. He shall not return into the land of Egypt, but the Assyrians shall be his king, because they refuse to return. And the sword shall abide on his cities, and shall consume his branches, and devour them because of their own counsels. And many people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboim? Mine heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not enter into the city. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt, and as a dove out of the land of Assyria. And I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. Ephraim compasses me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah yet ruleth with God, and is faithful with the saints. All right, this word here, bent, this is in the Old Testament, 8:5:1:1. To suspend through hesitation, to be uncertain, mental dependence to habituate. In other words, they are so locked into their mental, what they have learned from the nations of the world, from Egypt, that they have bent, grown that way. All right? Remember the branches that I talked about last week. Sometimes a tree's branches must be tied up so that they can be trained. I'm thinking about Karate Kid and the little bonsai tree. You know, you snipped it. He snipped it and made it into the image that he had in his, inside of him, of the tree. And that's what God does with us, okay? All right, seems this is the biggest problem the Lord has had to deal with since the fall is this rogue thinking process. One, you know, they might start out right, and before you know it, they're overcome by the world. It's happened in our society. It's happened in the church. Everybody gets into their own little way of thinking, and really, they're far from what the Word really says, far from the Scriptures. It's kind of what Jesus was talking about with the Pharisees, with the doctrines of men, that you have nullified my Word for your because you have taken your traditions up. Okay, that's a bent. You know, have you ever been around people that they're just so bent on doing things their own way? They're so bent in thinking a certain way, you can't wake them up. There's no matter what, whether they can, they're going to know if they're going to make it or not. But they are bound to determine that they're not going any other way. They're so bent in that direction. They say there's probably about 6% that will be lost. They will never come around. I'm thinking, you know, the people that I'm not around a lot of people, but the few that I am, if you do it by percentage, most of them don't have a clue what's going on. They think Biden's the president. They've all been vaxxed and boosted. They're clueless, and I'm going, wow, I hope everybody's not this way. It's very discouraging. This is that you're so bent in your ways. What's done it? The image of the beast. Let me read something to you. I watched the Truman Show, which there's a little video came out about five things in the Truman Show, but this is what I picked up. This came out in 1998, June 5th, 1998. He makes a statement. He's looking in a mirror, and it's the medicine cabinet's open. Of course, they can see him. And over here is a beehive jar, and this is a Masonic symbol. It's on everything that they have. He says, if I die before I reach the summit, use me as an alternative food source. All this came up a few years ago when COVID hit, and I don't know if she's a prime minister or whatever, some country, she was pushing, we need to just eat people after they die. Alternative food source. Now, this is 1998. And that's not the only thing. Lord told me to pray against cannibalism. And I thought, why in the world would I pray against that? This is way back before I knew anything. All right, a lamp fell from the sky, and on it was Sirius, the name Sirius. And he keeps looking up, he don't see anything, but it fell. It was like a lamp that was in a movie studio. It had a number on it, and I didn't get the significance of the number. I didn't write that down. All right. he mentions the word doppelganger, talking to a set of twins. Now, I'm not sure what a doppelganger is. I've looked it up before, but it's like somebody that replaces somebody else. Like now, wearing a mask, or they're a clone, or all this kind of stuff, a doppelganger. They staged his father's death. His father drowned when he was a little boy. And then later he sees him, and he's alive. And they whisk him away, and they do everything. Everything that this man does, they're watching him like a hawk, every move he makes. And the whole town is a stage. And the whole town are actors. And they're all watching him, everything they do. They all had their cues. Well, he gets to watching these patterns, and he sees, he said, there's these person on a bicycle, and then there's a VW bug that goes by. And he sat in his car and he watched it and was on a loop. Here it come. But they play their role every day. And he finally begins to start seeing these things, all right? Controlled his whole life from his birth. He was a unwanted pregnancy. And he happened to be in a group that they were looking at for candidates to track him his whole life and make a TV show out of it. So what happens? He's the first one born. So that's why he was chosen. All right? A girl tries to warn him that they know everything you do. It's a set. And they whisk her away and will not let her be anywhere near him. They choose a wife for him that's one of the actresses. All right? When they're in the control studio, the guys, there's a big flat earth model sitting there. A big one with the dome over it. All right. He's the first child that was legally ever adopted into a corporation. What's that about? Our birth certificates. When we're born, it's signed we're a living birth under the crown, under a corporation. All right, the producer, we accept the reality we are presented with. Isn't that the truth? I'm telling you about people that are so bent and thinking a certain way. They have accepted the reality that they have been presented. And they say, no, there's no way what you say could be right. Medicine cabinet, okay, the beehive. The earth model with the dome and the producer's control room. Okay, that was it. Very interesting. There was probably more things that I didn't catch. Even his dearest friend said, I'm not in on it, Truman. But he was. Yeah. All right. Let me keep going here. Thinking processes must line up with God's word. There are people that are so indoctrinated, they're so bent in a certain direction, that it doesn't matter if you present the word to them, they're going to say, no, I don't believe you. It's happening all the time. All right. This is Proverbs 22:6 out of the Amplified. Train up a child in the way he should go in keeping with his individual bent, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I have some bowback chairs in there. That's what a bent is. They heat that wood and they shape it to fit the back of the chair. And now it wouldn't bend. It's bent that way and it won't ever go back the way it was. Yeah. All right, go to John 15. This is the scripture. And he said, you know, I was thinking about when you taught last week, he said, I got to thinking about this chapter. So I thought, well, you know, it's a good one. It goes right along with this. And I didn't know I'd be doing it again this week, but the Lord just said, well, just pick up with that. I said, okay, I will. Verse 1 says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So what's happening when we get into a bent where we cannot be reasoned with, we cannot be talked to, we cannot be convinced? We don't bear fruit. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you, or give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. All right, what makes a bent bow? Rogue thinking. Rogue. You know what a rogue is? Someone does their own thing, their own way. That's the only way. Like Elvis. I did it. Frank Sinatra. Yeah. Rogue thinking, like we see today. Where has the love gone? Today, even among Christians, if you say one thing that they don't agree with on the air, they will dog you and treat you like you are trash. Yeah, they will. People, they get so discouraged, but they just finally have to turn off their comments because people just want to just rail at them because they don't, you know, they may say something they haven't heard before. Yeah. Where has the love gone? If you abide in God, we abide in love, for God is love. Now you can see why so many are rogue. No love. To fulfill the whole law is to love what? It's to love. All right, let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Well, Jesus included it in the bearing fruit process. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's that rogue thinking. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I know that you can see why we so much need the apostles to step up to the plate at this day and hour. They will set right what God's doctrine is, what His way is, and there won't be all this rogue stuff going on, everyone doing their own thing. It was never supposed to be that way. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but that he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preached circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of one another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye are led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. All right, love seems to be what brings everything into balance. You know, if someone wants to believe a certain way, then I guess it's their prerogative. But the thing is, you know, it's just like with the Jew stuff and people trying to bring Christians back under what the Jewish people celebrate. Well, it's wrong. But can I respect you and allow you to do whatever you believe that you need to do? Yeah. If you want to do Hanukkah, which is not even a religious holiday, by the way, not biblical either. So I'm thinking, okay, I never understood that one. But the point is, when you love someone, you allow them to have their opinion and to think the way they want to think, and you don't judge them because of it. All right. I feel sorry for people that will not trust. They always think someone has an angle, so they'd never trust God and His love, and they won't trust people that have the love of God in them either. They just have been kicked around in life, and they think, they just can't trust. They can't receive God because, you know, you're going to have to associate with people in this. I mean, every one of us, where do we learn what we've learned? Through people in the body of Christ. But if someone won't trust, they won't, you know, they think everyone has an angle and they're out to get them. And I understand that, but not to the point that you miss out with God, right? Okay, let's keep going. 1 John 4. We'll start with verse 7 there. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this is manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. That's, to me, the best way that we can walk in the Spirit, right there, our love walk. Keeping our love walk in check. We may want to say something that we shouldn't say. Love restrains us. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. See, that's what I was talking about, a person that won't trust because I have to deal with a person. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that beget loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Yeah, love plays a big part in not developing those, well, the wrong kind of bent, wrong kind of mindsets. Allowing people to whatever they want to believe. I was talking to Madison, and I was telling her, she's talking about how she talks to her friends and they act like she's crazy. They just get quiet. And I said, well, Madison, the thing is, we really don't know what's true. So what good is it if someone's been vaccinated for you to tell them, well, you have 2 to 5 years to live? What is that doing? How is that helping? That's not doing anything but scaring them, you know, bejesus out of them. You just go, dear Lord, we really don't know what's happening. This is a movie. I said, this has already all happened. And they're slowly releasing all this stuff. This is a part of the movie. And we really don't know what the real truth is. We know all the stuff out there and what they say, but is it really the truth? We don't know. I said, if I knew about all of it, I guess I'd be an expert and I could say something, but I really don't know. I've heard so much. I said, it's kind of one of those deals where that vaccination has got everything but the kitchen sink in it. And it causes about everything that there is. But I know what causes that. It's not some vaccine. It's their thinking. It's that rogue thinking. It's that bent. Jesus said it's not what goes in the man that defiles him, but what comes out of his thinking processes. Yeah. So I was trying to tell her, I said, you know, have a little mercy. You know, a little, you know, compassion. Because she's pretty strong. She's a very strong personality. And so, and she's not tempered too much anyway. So, you know, how are we going to help people here? Because we look at them and say, I told you so. Well, you didn't want to hear nothing. If we act ugly about it, that's not the way we need to act. If they need help, whatever they need help with, we need to do our, as children of God and the love of God, help them in any way we can. Right? I believe that will keep our mind right, that we abide in God, because God is love. But you never associated all that together, did you? Well, sometimes when I sit down, I don't know what direction the Lord's going to take me and what he connects together that I would never dream of connecting together. Okay. Isn't that really what is going on in our world today? These people with rogue thinking are trying to destroy us because they know not the love of God. I know there have been a few that have come to the right side because they saw the love of God in patriots. They saw the camaraderie and they saw the friendship and they saw these people aren't evil like we have been lied to believe. And they've totally gone to the other side. Now they're the biggest advocate of the Patriot movement. See, that's love. They felt the love. And they usually they're young people. You know why they're all band together? Whether they be transgenders or homosexuals or whatever, because they feel like they belong. Well, shouldn't people that have God in them make people be drawn to them because of that love? Because of our behavior towards them? That we don't judge them, we don't criticize them, we don't act nastier than the people of the world act? Well, I don't know where all this is coming from, but the Lord knows. Thank you, Lord. I cannot think of any better training and pruning process than the love of God. All right, we've got to practice the love of God. It doesn't come naturally, does it? But love, God's love is in us, in our spirit. All right, Matthew 7. What did Jesus tell the disciples? The world are going to know that you're my disciples by the what? By the love that you have for one another. That's not even showing love to them. That's showing love among yourselves. I'm telling you, I've been into some church situations where when we were young in the Lord, I think that's why we stayed out of church for so long, because we were in the middle of some really nasty church splits and things. Hear people talking and saying awful things about the leadership, the pastor, and different things. And I remember being at a ball game, and we just had this big church split at a church here. And I was sitting up there in the stands, and hear all these people are talking all this trash. I just got up and walked off. It hurt me. I didn't know much, but that hurt. We shouldn't ought to be that way. We shouldn't be doing that way. That's not the way. We're a body. It's like you're attacking your own body. Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Yeah. Unfortunately, few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Do you ever come across a person that they're just so lovely? Just everything they do and how they act and talk to people and things, it's just so lovely. It just draws you to them. It's like a breath of fresh air. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Yeah. Go back to Galatians 5. There's a little more to that. Verse 17. Well, I did read it to you a while ago about the flesh lusting against the spirit, the spirit against the flesh. Okay. All right, if we love, in love we bear much fruit. If we're a rogue, the works of the flesh bear fruit. It goes against the grain of human nature to walk in love and submit to the pruning process, but when we do, we reap the benefits of it. We allow God's pruning in our life. You know, when we do something and we feel bad about it, you know, you could say your conscience condemns you over it. Maybe you said something unlovely or something like that. Well, get it under the blood. Say, Lord, that was not a very nice thing to say. Forgive me for that. See, that's what this pruning process is about. He wants us to act like Jesus because we're his representative in the earth. And we want people to trust us. We want people to think they've got the real thing. I want to be a part of what they're doing. All right. Okay, go to Jeremiah 17. All right, we're going to look at the first 8 verses there. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of their altars, whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. O my mountain and the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inherited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. All right, we're going to look just a few right quick through the Psalms and Proverbs. All right, the first one is Psalms 1. Verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Okay, turn now to Psalms 92. Verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. All right, turn to Proverbs 3. There's a lot of good ones. I just wrote a few of these down. 3:13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies and all the things that thou canst desire not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and in all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy in every one that retaineth her. Better a little pain in the process right now than to spend eternity in pain and hell, right? Yeah. All right, Proverbs 11. Just two scriptures, 28 and 30. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Okay, 15:4, Proverbs 15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. All right, Romans 6. Okay, this is going to be the last scripture passage here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, see, this is the planting of the Lord, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members are instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, if you are not under the law, but under grace. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay.